Well, we are in our third part of this four-part series on the book of Jonah, the character of Jonah, and so that's where we're going to be today in chapter 3 and the book of Jonah. And just a small recap, we know that Jonah was called by God to go and get up and go and preach to the people in Nineveh, and because of the sin and everything was breaking God's heart, and he wanted them that message to be preached, and Jonah decided to choose to run into another direction, not do what God called him to do. And he did that, and God met him and out on the ocean, out there on the sea, and God provided a great fish to swallow him up. And in that fish, and in the stomach of that fish, he was broken and was reminded who he was and who God was. It reminded him of his vows and all the things that he was doing that God called him to do. That and he called upon the Lord, and the Lord had the fish throw him back out by vomiting him back out onto the shore. And that is where we are going to begin today. So as we begin today to look at chapter 3, we still believe that the whole message of this whole thing really is a story, is about Noah is the vessel that God is using. But really it's about the people in Nineveh, that God loves not just believers, but God loves also lost people. He loves the sinner. And so his whole piece was there, Jonah, I want you to go. You are going to go to Nineveh. And let me ask you a question. When's the last time God asked for your opinion? I'm just asking. When's the last time that God asked for your opinion? You know, he has never asked me for my opinion. I think I give him my opinion from time to time. But God has an opinion in his, God doesn't seek my opinion. I don't think he seeks our opinion. And I think God gives instructions that we are called to follow that. I think if God gave us an opinion, we probably wouldn't even understand it. We are called to follow. And to follow sometimes is hard for us because we have an opinion about it. Because we have another direction that we want to go. We have other plans that we want to do. And but God sees all of it. We see just the pieces that we want to see. God sees all of it. The front end, the back end, the side parts of it, underneath it, over it, and beyond it. We just kind of see what we see. And we should be thankful that God sees all of it. And God has seen all of this story. And Jonah wanted to buck God's system, and God says, we don't buck my system. And God had him in a headlock, and he used his nature to do it. And now he is going in as a rebellious man, and now he's coming out. At least he's going to do what God's called him to do. And so we're going to pick it up in chapter 3, the actual message, the piece that is happening with Jonah. The Bible tells us in Jonah chapter 3 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Father, Lord, we again thank you for the opportunity here that we can just assemble ourselves together to call upon your name through song and through your word, and this through fellowship and through prayer. And all that we do here this morning, we do it for you. But Lord, in this moment, may you give us ears to hear what you'd have for us, that our spiritual ears may be open, our spiritual eyes to see what you'd have for us. For you're not looking and waiting for our opinion, but you have things that you want to say. May we be accessible, maybe wanting to hear what you'd have for us. Be with us in this time, in Christ's name, amen. So we see here, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I want to remind you that God is a God of second chances. Amen for that? God is a God for second chances. But you know what? Some of you say, hey, you know what, God, Jimmy May, I don't think God's a God of second chances. How about a 10th chance? How about a 20th chance? That's the kind of God that we serve. God is willing to work with you. When we turn our eyes and we turn our eyes off of what we're doing and we turn it back to the Lord, God is willing to work with us. God wants to work with us. God wants to use us. Here we find out that God has spoken to Jonah again. That is a great piece. Sometimes we think that God doesn't speak to us because we go sideways and we go in directions we shouldn't. In those moments, God is doing work. He doesn't have to say a lot. He's doing something in those moments. But God does speak again. And many times when God speaks, it's after we've repented. It's after we turn our eyes back on Jesus. And then our ears get focused in on what he has to say. And here it is. What does he say? God. To Jonah again, and a second time. He's giving him another opportunity with another chance here to get some things right. But what does he say in verse 3? He says two words. Get up. He says, get up. God doesn't change the mission, right? He doesn't change the mission. If we go back here to verse 2 of chapter 1, what's he say? He says, get up. Go to Nineveh, right? He doesn't really have to say all of it again, but he's going to say it all over again. Get up. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you. And Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Different attitude. Hopefully it's a different attitude. We see some things turn a little bit in chapter 4. But different attitude coming out of there like, man, I'm so glad to be out of that stomach of the well. God's given me another opportunity. I'm going to go do. And that's what usually people will do. They will go and do what God has called them to do. And I want to tell you, when you want to see blessings in your life, just start doing what God called you to do. A lot of times people will say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, how do you know what God wants you to do? Well, you just stop. You don't just stop in everything in life, but you stop in your spiritual. You kind of make a spiritual stop and you say, and you just when you pray, you just say, Lord, I'm not hearing anything right now. But I want to tell you, you do need to read from the Bible. From the Bible, the Bible really is, God speaks through his word. If you're reading his Bible, God will speak to you. God speaks through his word. He does in other ways, but the majority of the time he's speaking through his word. Because we're not the first person to go through the problem or the things that we're going through. There were previous people. God doesn't have to repeat himself. He's already said it. And it wasn't just for that person in that moment in time. It was for them. But also God used that word for us to be inspired, to be encouraged, and to be spoken to by his spirit. Amen? Okay, so here we find here that Jonah is getting up. He is doing his piece. But he's being called to a place called Nineveh. Nineveh is a very sinful city. Scripture talks about in chapter 4 that it's 120,000 people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And he's going to, it's not quite as, it's bigger than Huntington for sure. But it's not as big as Fort Wayne. So maybe somewhere in the, maybe the area, maybe Muncie, something like that. They might have 140, 160, something like that. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people. And so we see here that God has called a one-man guy to go and preach to that big a city. And if he's going to preach to that city, one person, why is it that we have all these churches in town and we can't even reach this community? Just ask him. And I bet you have an opinion on that. There's approximately 17,000 people, I'm rounding the number, 17,000 people in the city of Huntington, right? About 17,000, about 38,000, not quite, but close to 38,000 people in the county, Huntington County. I want to give you a couple, just the stats. This is an oddball one from 2024. This is just one in 118 people. That's about 322 people. These are grandparents who are raising grandkids. Somehow we forgot the parent. You know where parenting was kind of taught? It was taught by those who, younger people would learn from their mother and their father and their grandparents. Today, a lot of young parents don't want to hear anything that their grandparents or parents have to say. Because we know it all. Doesn't mean that every parent or every grandparent is a great parent. We know that's not true either. And if you're a researcher, that's by the Stacker Research. I researched these before. I didn't just put these numbers down. But these are people in Huntington County that are caring for grandparents. This is about 322 as of 2024. It's an oddball one here that 39% of the people in Huntington County identify as a Christian, about 39%. You might find higher ones or lower ones, but that's 39%. That was in 2020 by the religious data archives there. That's when population was about 34,000 or so. So we are on the bottom half. We're like 39%. There's a lot of lost people in Huntington City, a lot in Huntington County. Most people that I know in Huntington, some of you know a lot more people than I do. Most people in Huntington, if they go to church, they go to church somewhere in Huntington County. But there are more majority of people going from outside of Huntington County coming to church into Huntington than there are those going out of Huntington into like Fort Wayne. There are some people that do go to Fort Wayne. I know some people that go to ECC, some places like that. But most of the people will stay in the county that are from Huntington. But there are people from Fort Wayne, like our church has a lot of people. We have people from Fort Wayne, Columbia City, Bluffton, New Markle. We kind of all over the place, okay, and other places. There is a draw and there's a desire to see Huntington be led to the Lord. But a lot of it is just talk, I think. A lot of it is not in action. There is a lot of action, but we talk a lot here. In every place, there is some evil and darkness that people may not understand and know. You have occult and witch groups here in Huntington. I know some of them where they are, but that's in other places as well. The addiction issue here is pretty strong, as we can tell by how full our county jail is. And we can tell also by all the recovery homes that are in the county. And so we know that. And we know that the sexual sins also is rampant in Huntington. Believe me, I have a file about that thick of the occult and the things of this county, and also the sexual things of this county. And it is strong here. So the addiction and sexual sins of this county is strong. And so we're trying to pierce the darkness with the light of the gospel. I believe this is exactly what God has wanted to do with Jonah. He wanted Jonah to bring that peace in there, that they need to repent from the ways they were living. And so we can agree today, I don't want to go through all these stats, but I just think we can agree today that Huntington County, Huntington, the people of Huntington County and the city, they need Jesus. But we are filled with a lot of churches. Now, does every church going to agree with what you feel? Listen, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached as a number one, amen? As said, that is why we assemble ourselves together to worship God. We are here to worship God today, to show that we're faithful to Him, to show our obedience, to fellowship with like-minded believers, to call upon the name of the Lord in prayer, to praise His name through singing, to be reminded of what He's done for us through our singing and songs, that we don't just not singing a song, but we're singing a praise to God. And then when we're brokenhearted, we have things in our life that we use an altar, that we can use an altar to pray and to seek God's will. But even when things are good, we can praise God for what He's done and what He's doing in our lives. That's not what's happening all across. There are some great churches, there's some great pastors in this community, there's some great churches in this community. But we are not hitting the ball out of the park. We're just scratching the surface of things. And so, because if we were hitting the ball out of the park, we would be at our attendance that we were 2 years ago or last year at 110 on our average. But we have slipped in that area. And people fall out. People fall out of church, most of the time they fall out of their relationship with God. They start drifting. And when you drift, you begin to do things that you said you wouldn't do again. And so we struggle with that. So there is an issue that we have in the church, and we'll get to more of that next week when it becomes more about discipleship. But here we're talking about the desire that God has for a lost city, a city that's full of sin. And everybody, nobody has to agree with you on the message. You just need to be obedient to God. And so we see here that God tells Jonah, you get up and I want you to go to Nineveh. And so Jonah gets up and he goes to Nineveh. And then he says, now Nineveh was an extremely great city. And we know that's 120,000 people. 3-day walk. That's constantly walking through, shouting out, being that street corner preacher that we all kind of walk away from. We don't know what it's about. It can be, but here God is using that person, Jonah, to preach and proclaim. And so he walks through the city for 3 days and he is proclaiming. What is he proclaiming? He says, in 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished. Basically, in 40 days, God is going to destroy this city because of the sin that this city has committed before God. And so he continues to do that, and he continues to walk around, and he is shouting it out, and he's telling people all about it. The message is simple. The message is true, and the message is fact, and it is absolute. And these people did something that we don't even think can happen today. These people turned around, and they listened to it. They listened to the message. In verse 5, it says, then the people of Nineveh believed God. You see, we can believe that God can save us, but we don't believe that God can save our neighbor. We believe that God can save us, but we don't think God can save Huntington. Does Huntington need a revival? It needs a revival. Do you know that this church, at one moment in this church, it had 2 great revivals in it? This wall was always opened up on Sundays. And over there where those offices were, those were rooms where people would sit. And they would also pull seats out. This preaching podium, the preaching area, was all the way back in the corner. This area was a sunken kind of chorus, instrumental kind of area back there. That's why that's like that. There was a pipe organ that came up on the side and everything else. But this church was the church. It had 1,000 members in it. What? 1,000 members in it. It was Central Christian. Central Christian today is up behind the high school. They're doing what they're doing, and they left. They felt like maybe God called them up here. But here we are today in this place. They also had a great revival way back in the day when they added another 75 people on an Easter. They had another 250 on a revival. And that church was on fire for the Lord. And then politics came in and some other things, and they ended up and they decided to move out. And so they are up there. But here it is. We are called to be, we at New Life, we are called to preach the gospel here. We are in the heart of the city. We are a block and a half from the courthouse. And anytime you get on your Google map and you say, how far is it to Dallas, Texas? It will take you to the courthouse. You know, if you don't put an address in and you just say a city, it will always take you to the courthouse. That is considered to be the heart of the city. Here it is. We are in the heart of the city where the heart should be pumping. And what should be pumping here should be the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of Christ for lost people. We've forgotten to continue to love the lost people. We have a handicap, if you want to say. We have a handicap. Whereas because we have these houses and the people that are residential houses in our transitional homes, they have to be here through the program. And some of us use that as that is our evangelistical tool. No, that is one part of it. God will not give us a pass on the city. God is not going to give us a pass on the city because we're doing this ministry. The Bible says where much is given, much more will be asked for. God is challenging and telling us New Life needs to wake up and remember there are still lost people in the city, in the county of Huntington. This should be our number one priority. To love the Lord our God, to seek Him and live Him, everything that we got, and to be obedient to Him. I believe number 2 is to share what you got with Him. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. People say, I don't know how to share the gospel. Just tell Jesus how He saved your life. And when they say, well, how can I do that? You say, oh, this is how I did it. I knew that I needed Christ in my life. That I'm a sinner and I needed Jesus in my life. And I confess to Him that I am lost and undone. Lord, I want to make You my Lord and Savior. Come and be my life. Be in my life. And you give your life to Him. Then the people of Nineveh believed God and they proclaimed a fast. What? They proclaimed a fast and sackcloth, which means they would just put on the lowest of garments. And sometimes they would throw dust on it, dirt on it. And they did this from the greatest to the least. And they proclaimed a fast. They proclaimed a fast. What is a fast? A fast is when we don't, I know that some of us will say, I'm going to fast from TV. I'm going to fast from doing this. I'm going to fast from my whatever it is. Biblical fast is food. Okay, we're just going to call it out. Because here's the thing. We all may not have the same hobbies. We may not all have the same things. Some of you don't even watch TV. But listen, we all eat. And 99% of us love to eat, right? Food is good. And what we do is we put something good aside. We put that thing that we need in the healthy, the thing that keeps us going, that food, we put it aside saying, listen, I'm pushing that aside because I have something more important that I want right now. And I want to not be physically fed. I need to be spiritually fed. And I'm going to fast. And so these people, they call upon a fast. Here's the thing. These sinners called upon the fast when churches today haven't, most churches don't even fast even once a year. So fasting is important. Some people fast. You can fast on your own between you and God, and you're doing something, you're working out something with Him. It gives you reset. Fast can give you a reset spiritually, but a fast is something that you do between you and God. And here, this is all about the people. The message was about the people, and it wasn't that these people were doing being sinful or this other family being sinful. The whole city was falling to the wayside in the sin. And of course, these are the people that would fight against the Israelites, God's people. But God even has love for those who fight against Him. This is why Jonah didn't really want to go. And so he calls a fast, they call this fast, and they're starting to fast. But it gets up to this moment that when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne. This is where we also got to have faith that when we pray, we should pray for our leaders. We should pray for the leaders of our country, and we should also pray for the leaders of other countries. But it says, when the word of the Lord reached, when the message reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, and he took off his royal robe. I'm taking it off. And he put on sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. This is a humbling moment. This is all, fasting is also a time of humbling yourself before God. And so he humbles himself, but he's also the leader of the country, and he humbles the whole city of Nineveh. This is what he says. He puts out a decree. He issues this decree across Nineveh. By the order of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth, and everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. It's not just he calls a fast from eating and drinking, but he also says that you have to turn away from your evil. He even knew what was going on. And so he calls everyone to stop doing the sinful things. He says, from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. And this is their hope. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. They believe. The first thing is they listen to the message. The second part of it is they believed the message. And then they did something about it. And they put their hope in a God that they didn't know, but believed was coming to destroy them. And so the king does all of this. And it's an amazing piece that these people actually did it. They actually did it. Sometimes it's not the believer who has a lack of faith. Sometimes it's not the sinner who has the lack of faith, but the believer. Yeah. Sometimes it is not the believer who has the mighty faith, but is the one that is on the cusp of believing. Sometimes we share the gospel and we really don't think anyone's going to hear it. Or we share the gospel and we don't think anyone's going to become a believer. One person speaks a message in a city of 120,000, and 120,000, the city just changes. Is that the power of Jonah? No, that's the power of God. That's the power of God using a person who is being obedient, being the vessel there. And here it is. Is this true? That Jonah, did he really have a heart for the people? No, he had a heart for God. He didn't really care for the people. You'll see that later. He doesn't really care for the people, but he loves God. He wants to do what God's called him to do now. But who has the heart for the people? God has a heart for the people. God is the one that has a heart for the people. And right now, listen, nobody loves Huntington as much as God does. No one loves the lost people of Huntington as much as God does. Let me tell you the fault of Huntington. Let me tell you. Because spiritual leader, not that I know everything, but this is what I know. They love to hear the gospel, but they don't want to grow up. Huntington doesn't want to grow up. Loves to hear the gospel, loves to say Jesus, loves to wear the t-shirts, loves to wear the bracelets, but won't grow up and become discipled and be all that God wants him to be. And you don't get amens on that. But it's a fact. If you've been here long enough, you know. If you've been to some other churches, you know. Huh. But he says, who knows? Maybe God won't do this. I believe this king put his hope all in God. Because he wasn't running around with his royal robe. He was putting himself and humbled himself. And when leaders humble themselves, people follow leadership. He humbles himself. He does just that. And what do we know? The very next verse says this, and God saw their heart. No. What does it say? God saw their actions. What you do matters to God. What you do matters to God. What you do matters to God. God sees the heart, but he's looking for some action. God saw their actions. Yeah. That they turned from their evil ways. Isn't that what the message was going to be? That God was going to destroy them? So God relented from the disaster he had threatened them, and he did not do it. So their hope was actually much stronger. Your hope is what's something that you are wanting to happen. You're wanting something soon to happen. You're believing that something is going to happen. You put your hope into that. You put everything into that. They put everything they had into God. By their actions, by what were their actions? Their actions was they called a fast. They didn't even know how to pray to God. They didn't pray to God. But now they're doing these things. They're calling a fast. But they're also turning away from their evil deeds and the way that they were living. And God saw it. God saw it. And God saw your actions when you became a believer and you started turning from your evil ways and your sinful lifestyle. God saw it. And here it is. God saw it and he relents and he doesn't do the disaster that he planned on doing. They may not love him yet. Because they're seeking not to be destroyed. But there's one thing we know, that God is still loving them. God loved them as sinners, and God's loving them as they're turning from their evil ways. Jonah, I don't think Jonah has a lot of love for them. But when was this ever about me? When was this really about ever you? It's about God and people. And if God uses the vessel, He uses people as vessels and tools, and we are called to be obedient. And then how do we know? What do we do? What do we do with all of that? We have to learn how to love people that don't love us back. We have to focus on what is the call that God has given to us. And so many of us in churches, we have been sidetracked by little paths and rabbit trails off to other things. We don't do these ministries that we do today because I thought that they were great. We don't do them because you thought that they were great. It's because God gave us these ministries in 2006. I am not here in Huntington because I chose to be in Huntington. Here because God told me to be in Huntington. Huntington needs to hear the gospel, but it also needs to grow up. But before we even get to sharing the gospel, before we even get to growing up, we have to love the Lord. And we have to love what the Lord loves. We have to learn to love lost people. We have to learn to love people. We have to learn to love this community. We have to learn how to love this county. We have to learn to love. God has placed us in the heart of the city. You know what is in the heart of most cities? This is a small city, or you can call it a big town or a small city, whatever you want to call it. This is a county seat. It's bigger than most county seats. Second largest city in Northeast Indiana at about 13 counties. We don't act like it. And I mean, the city doesn't act like it. We don't act like it. We have to learn to love the people. That means we got to get our fire back. And I know a lot of us, our fire is not back for the Lord the way it was. We got to get that fire back. You can't buy it from the Bible bookstore Lifeway. You can't buy that. You can't buy it. You can't go out and dig it out of the ground. You can't grow it. It comes from within here. It comes from the Lord. And we have to get our fire back. We got to get our umph back. And the danger of doing ministries is that you put your heart and your fire all in your ministries and not in the love for people as God called us to, because all ministries should lead people to Christ. We have to get our fire back. And let me tell you, when you come to Jesus, many of us are just like Jonah. We just want to run and do our own thing. When I know that God has called some of you to do some other things for Him and to serve. We don't serve when we're ready. We serve when God calls. We don't serve how or where. We just do what God tells us to do. We go where God calls us to go. And for some reason, we are all assembled here together to be here in Huntington. And there are plenty of empty seats that we know someone that we could actually share the gospel with, or even just invite to church. I have struggled over the last few months of why some of our numbers have kind of went down, whether it's been in the sanctuary or our finances. But I also know that we've done something that's been very dangerous, and we do it on a yearly basis. We do fast and we do pray. And we fast every January for the year or the year to come. Doesn't mean God gives it to us every year in the way that we want. Sometimes it takes a few extra months, but God is doing work. These are just things that we pray and we fast for because we feel that this is where God is leading after so much prayer. And these are the things we put on Him. And there are never anything that we can really do on our own. One of those things that we prayed and fasted for, and now this is the first year we did a 2-year fast. So this is going to be for 2026 and 2027. We asked God to give us 30 baptisms. 30 baptisms in 2 years. Now, a couple years ago, we prayed that God would give us 20 baptisms in 1 year, and He gave us 23 by August. He was on fire. It was awesome. But I don't know if we really praise God enough for that. Some of us have got to quit being spectators. I'm going to say it just like that. Enjoy the game from the stands is one thing, but getting the game, I'm telling you what, it's awesome. But we asked God to give us 30 baptisms in the next 2 years, and we haven't had one yet. And here we find out that, I was like, what's going on here? We also asked God that God would give us, that we would be able to, God would give us, allow us to be able to hit the 170 mark so that we can give God 1% of the city. 1% of the city on a given Sunday. 1% that we would give an offering back to God as 1% of the city. Just the gesture that we want to do for God. Huh. We ask God also for $1.5 million in the next 2 years for the ministries. God knows what we prayed and fasted for. There was a couple other things too, that we need to finish up the whole sanctuary, and we need to adjust. There's a lot of things. We want to complete the Life Center across the street. Every one of these are bigger than we could possibly do on our own, because this is the size we are. But I do believe that we have been attacked in this area as well. This is a challenging area for us. For we haven't had any baptisms. Instead of growing in numbers to the 170, we're going in reverse. For the ministry money, for the 1.5, we have a lot of catch up to do if that's even going to happen. So there's so much going on with all of those things. But it isn't that God just gives it to you. Sometimes God allows things to happen and is also a testing piece. I think sometimes God wants to know, do you still love the city like I do? Do you still love me like I love you? God may not have sent us to Nineveh, but he did send us to Huntington. Don't sit in the pews for 2 or 3 years and do nothing and just be a spectator. That's not what God, that's what's happening all across Huntington. Listen, I have a lot of friends that are pastors, and the thing is, I can't get them to move. I can't get them to move. And then some of them are saying, what are you talking about? Can't get them to move. I can't even get them to come. It's almost like spiritually, Huntington is in a slumber. And I'm telling you, it's not just what's happening here. It's happening in other churches as well. There are some that are growing. That's a good thing. But I'm just telling you, numbers does not dictate everything. But they do dictate some things. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he said, get up and get it done. Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he does it, and I think he's surprised that they actually do what he is telling them, that God is going to destroy the city. I think we need to continue to do what God's called us to do here. But I don't think it's, hey, what is our church doing? I think we need to be looking in the mirror. Lord, what am I doing? What am I not doing? What is going on? A lot of our families are taking hits. Right now, this is a lot of health issues across the board. There's a lot of things happening here. And when I know those happen in my own personal family or in the church, it draws me closer to the Lord, and I know I'm going to pray more. And Jesus said this, that my house should be a house of prayer. I hope today already that when you come in here that you've already prayed, not just collectively and community with all of us, but I hope that there's been a moment in this morning's worship somewhere by the time you came in, that you've already prayed to the Lord. If you haven't, we need to work on that. We need to draw closer to God. We need to draw closer to the Lord. So this is what I know this morning. This is what I feel in my heart. This is what I know. Many of us need a second chance. Jonah got his second chance. But some of you, again, it's not a second chance, but it's a fourth or a fifth chance. When you turn yourself back to the Lord, he will listen. And he'll give you that chance you need. But also know this, he doesn't change directions, that God keeps you on the path that he had you on. He might adjust some things. But for Jonah, get up. Get to Nineveh. Preach. Same thing he said before he ran away to the moment he got vomited out of the fish. Get up and get it done. God is not done with New Life. But new life better not be done with God. We got to continue to do what God has called us to do. Be ready, because I believe God even has more for us, but sometimes we're not ready for it. We got to love what we have. We got to be faithful with what we do. And God will always provide. He will always love and He will always guide. God is faithful. Amen. God is always in attendance. Even when I'm sad or even when I'm happy, God is always there for you and for me. God loves us, but remind yourself, He's not just loving me today. He's loving those people out there that don't know Him yet. And He wants people to share the gospel. And this is one of the places where we are called to share the gospel. God, it's not God's fault when we have empty seats. Sometimes I think, man, was God ever going to fill the seats? Sometimes maybe the Lord says, why do you have so many empty seats? Maybe it's because you're not sharing the gift that I've given to you. Father, Lord, we just ask, Lord, in this moment of response, Lord, that you would just encourage and inspire the souls of ourselves, the soul, the spirit that lies inside of us, that you may strengthen us, Lord, that you may shake our spirits, that we might be rattled spiritually, to renew the hunger for the lost and renew the love that we have for this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.